Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Big Campaign Stories. This is Jeff, your humble narrator and GM. And today we are doing a backstory episode on our wonderful and lovable Keegan Creek.
Hello, I'm Marshall and I'm playing Keegan.
But before we get started, let's get them lightsaber checks. Marshall.
I could really use one of these. It's a two. Well, that's fair.
I guess you have to do the recap now.
Oh, yeah. Last time I lost 15 con and ended up in the hospital.
We begin the scene in Avia, the largest city on Corellia. Here we're at the graduation for military cadets as they achieve their specialties to either continue on with their military service or to travel, though still always bound to the country, to come back if they are ever needed. We see a young Keegan Creek wearing their fatigues, sitting with a bunch of their friends in rows, watching as Commander Freight reads off names and hands out paperwork to those graduating. You know your turn is coming up next, Keegan. They haven't gotten to the Cascaded Division yet. They're just finishing up right now with the Gallows Specialty Division. You'll see Commander Freight as he reads off a long list of accomplishments, speaking about a unique halfling that has joined the ranks of the Corellian military and has excelled at every trial and opportunity. They hope that Gallows Duskwatch will stay with them. They understand that they are not bound, like the rest of you, to Corellian law, to stay loyal to the country, though it has been probably assumed that Duskwatch will. But as you're sitting there with your friends, waiting for your turn, you'll hear a long distance, psst, hey, Keegan, hey, Keys. Keegan, how old are you now?
I'm about, let's say, 18-ish.
Okay.
Is that because you go in about 14, 15-ish?
Mm-hmm.
So about 4 years of training. So yeah, I'm about 18 now.
Okay. You can look over and you see, at this point, it'd be your father when he's younger. So long, wavy hair, olive skin. He's wearing a nice looking eel skin jacket as he kind of, Keys, come over.
I will look over to him and kind of lean like, what?
Come here.
I'm about to go up and point to the stage.
I just want to let you know that your mom and I are really proud of you. This is the furthest any creek has gone in the military. It's been a busy day at work, though, so when you're done, if you want to meet up with us, I'll buy you a beer.
That sounds nice. The hurricane?
Yeah, sounds good. Just give us a call.
Okay.
At this point, the scene will change into a hospital. The sterile rooms and the beds, the smell of antiseptic and blood, as Shirkavan, from about 7 feet away in a different bed, will, oh my God, I don't want to hear about your family trauma. We're stuck in here. Tell me something good. Tell me a fun story.
A fun story?
Yeah, you were in the military, right? You got to have something good.
Yeah, Yes, I was telling you about my graduation.
Yeah, you can see the bandages on Shirkavan's snout and face. You can see the IVs hooked up to him as he... Well, of course you graduated. That's boring.
Well...
Tell me something cool you guys did.
Okay, I got something for you. This was one of my first missions outside of graduation. And we went a little excessive.
He tries to turn in the bed to look at you, but winces in pain as he... All right, I'm in. Excessive sounds fun.
So I was with the Cascade Division, which is explosives and demolition.
Nice.
And that leaves a lot of room between this will get your bullet flying and where'd that town go?
All right, I'm in. Tell me that one.
All right.
So the scene will shift. We see a different Keegan with their squad mates. A female Corellian named Shelf, another one named Crust, and a male Corellian named Shale. Shelf stands probably almost a foot taller than the tallest Corellian you've met. She's easily pushing 7'1", 7'2".
Jeez. Okay.
And you know she's trying out to be a member of the Thumper Heavy Support Group. Crust is attempting to achieve their recon status, and Devron Shale is attempting to be part of command. Commander Freight has given you all orders to head into the Vastwood and remove a dam that is blocking a section of river that helps prevent the dire boars from coming across to attack some of the smaller villages outside of Avia.
Okay.
You all have your Corellian Gladii as well as your Corlean crossbows. But are there any other special weapons that you want to have?
Let's see. I will have a pair of brass knuckles because it's something I took from my father when I was younger and just kind of kept as a, I don't want to say a security blanket, but yeah, more of a security blanket. Also led into me getting into the boxing as a cadet. But other than that, yeah, the crossbow and the crossbow and the gladius will be the two weapons I have. And my demolitions kit.
The Vastwood is a massive forest. One that extends as large as the Dargath Empire. That is the Vastwood Forest. Or as locals call it, the Hoon Vastwood. There is Mount Hoon, a giant mountain in the center, of which rests a dragon, supposedly. But in the mountains are the nests and homes of the Star Children, strange aberrations that glow light that are extremely lethal and very dangerous. The Vastwood was once controlled by an ancient empire known as the Kinzai that did a vast amount of experimentation in their attempts to try to kill the gods. Because of that, the Vastwood is not only a dangerous place naturally, there are also constructed horrors that do wander the forests that need to be dealt with. As every young Corlean is trained, though, the forest is something to be respected and feared, so nobody goes out there unprepared, especially with the morning acid fogs. So you guys are getting suited up with your rubber sleeping bags for resting in the trees, your boots to help with the acid that comes through in the morning. You have your brass knuckles. You'll see Shelf has their thumper, a short close combat shotgun that they use for forest fighting, as well as a hard light heavy shield. Crust has a drone with them. The cheese is to scout ahead in the forest to help you guys plot your route. And Shale is looking over the equipment and notes, making sure that everybody has what they need. Shale will congratulate you. Good job, Creek. So you're finally one of them Dumbos, huh?
Yeah. Still not a fan of that nickname, but thank you. It took a lot of work to get here, and I'm hoping to put it to some use. So what's the plan, Commander?
Yeah, Shale will walk by each of you and throw down a Sandus coat for each of you, or as you guys all know them in the military, as Vastwood jammies, effectively a suit that doubles over as your sleeping bag. Fresh out of R&D, we get to test them out. Make sure you have your cloaks as well in order to keep the Star Children from seeing us overhead. Everybody has their peekers. You got your drone. Crust, you got your drone, and she'll look up. What? Yeah, right here. Shelf. And Shelf is cleaning out their gun. Gotcha, boss. I'm ready. This should be a pretty safe mission. We're not expecting a lot of resistance. We take out a ghost nest, get that water running again. Should cut off the boars from interacting with the villages. We'll be back here in a little under 2 weeks.
Did you secure us a vehicle? Or are we hoofing it?
We're hoofing it. The area we're going is a little bit too thick for standard PHV travel, and we dare not use anything that flies because we don't want to attract a Star Child.
That's fair.
You got your hobby kit?
Oh yeah, I got it. I got some special things for this.
Alrighty, let's roll out.
Sounds good. I will secure my peekers to the top of my head, so I'm not looking through them at the moment. Sizable backpack and the rest of my gear.
All of you have enough rations for 2 weeks, but you also partially expect to be able to hunt or find food on the way. But as you take off into the Vastwood, your squad mates will kind of start to get excited. They're having fun, right? This is the start of your guys' first mission. So they'll double check themselves, triple check, and get ready to follow Shale out into the Vastwood with you.
Yep, I will keep triple checking and double checking as well, making sure my explosives are staying dry, making sure I've got everything.
Yeah, Crust will hand out heal pins to all of you. She'll say, you know, just in case, I still have another 5 or 6 as backup, but everybody should have one just in case.
Thanks, Crust.
Yeah, she'll... Not like it'll matter if you screw up. Heal pins aren't going to save you.
Nope. That's the idea. Clean getaway or nice funeral.
Though you're working as a team, go ahead and give me your survival check.
So here's survival with just the 2. 15.
Crust is doing an excellent job leading you all. So even though you're paying attention to the route and keeping an eye out for things, you trust your teammates. You know they know where to go, and you're all following suit. Shelf, you can see, is, even though while she's walking, she's still trying to adjust her Corlean crossbow to fit kind of her size and strength. Make sure she doesn't break it if she pulls it back too hard. And she'll look back. Creek, how long are you planning on staying here in Avia? Or are you going mercenary after this?
I'll probably go mercenary. Not right away, though. Especially if this works out. Missions are successful. Good demolition work. But Pretty good to get out and see the world.
All right. You going to go up to Golden or work with Black Cat?
Golden seems like a good place, although I've heard some good things about Dusk Banter, too, in the Empire.
Shale will... you should probably stay away from Golden. A lot of gambling up there.
Yeah. Yeah, there really is, isn't there?
But Crust will nudge him in the side like, hey, dude, don't be a dick.
Thanks, Crust.
But Shale will... Well, it's nice not to have to deal with Freight. At least that's a 2-week vacation from that guy.
I'll say. Freak out Freight.
yeah, they'll all laugh at that and freak out Freight. Especially for this first day, it is a nice stroll into the jungle. The canopy overhead provides some shadow, or provides some shade from the sun, and it's fun to hear the birds with their silver wings and long tails as they chirp and scream, drifting through the branches. You guys will stop to make lunch and all have a laugh at Shelf as she's trying to hide what's left of her sandwich from some local slugs. Normally, you guys, they're just called copper slugs, but sometimes they're called bullet slugs because they can teleport about a foot. once an hour, but if you get in their way, it stings like a bastard when they hit you, and so they'll try to get close to the food before they'll blip, and Shelf will be slapping him away before you'll hear her, like, son of a bitch, and she's waving her hand back and forth. You can see the kind of like being hit by a poppet.
Okay, Shelf, don't use up all our pins just yet.
Shut up, Creek. But you'll see a couple of slugs that are on basically like going into her bag and one on the back of her sandwich.
I think it's a losing battle.
This is garbage. Why don't they go after you guys? The rest of you are fine. But it's fun. The slugs, after they teleport, they glow for about half an hour. And as their glow subsides, that's when they recharge to be able to teleport again. So you guys watch as a bunch of little illuminated slugs start to slowly crawl away from Shelf as she finishes what sandwich she can that hasn't been slimed before she throws it out into the woods. And the slugs all start going after it. You hear the little bloop of slugs appearing to eat it.
This doesn't become a thing this trip.
Taking your food next, Shelf will say.
You were the slugs.
She flips you the bird.
I'll just smile back.
As you continue along for the day, Crust will let you know that, just to be cautious, I'm seeing a lot of onyx deer in the area, so make sure not to engage.
Noted.
Crust will pull out a couple vials, though, and I do have 2 anti-venoms, though, so if the deer do bite you and you start to turn to Onyx, call out, and I will inject you as fast as possible, but I only have 2, so don't go starting problems with them.
I do not plan to.
Yeah, Shale and Shelf will, got it, boss, which will make Crust roll her eyes, and not the boss here, Shale is.
Yeah, but you got the info.
And Shale will look, and that's correct, Greek. We trust every Corlean Marine to be able to act of their own, so don't screw up, Crust. She flips him the bird.
Common greeting in Corlea.
The day will turn to night, which comes faster than you're used to, especially being out here in the jungle, as the sun sets, as the shadow of Mount Hoon spreads across the forest. You all will start to make your camp, crawling up into the trees and securing yourselves.
In our jammies?
Yeah, they're comfortable enough once they're activated to let you to sleep in medium armor without any problem, even though most of your team is wearing light armor. But go ahead and give me a perception then.
25. Looks like I rolled a 20.
Excellent. So you instantly wake up. Shelf is hanging on a branch next to you. You see her large arms reaching over. She's trying to untie your shoes to put them down in the morning fog. It's kind of a common prank, but but you wake up instantly. She looks up with guilty eyes. You can see she has the peekers on to help her see at night.
Oh, I'm going to tell those slugs exactly where you are.
She's like, God damn it, Creek. You're supposed to be asleep.
I've prepared for this. I'm a light sleeper.
You'll watch as she drifts back in the darkness to her branch, reattaching the jammy to where it was connected, and good night.
Night, Shelf.
Next day, all of you wake up. You can see Crust and Shale both look a little like, how'd you sleep, Creek? Before Shelf looks at them and does the slashing motion across her neck, and they all look guilty.
I'll do a big... a big showy stretch and stomp my feet. it was wonderful, but you'll have to try harder than that to get me.
Crust will laugh at this and told you guys, Creek's bona fide, graduated. He's not going to fall for our classic cadet shenanigans. But over morning breakfast, Crust will show you a video of her drone last night, scouting the area. You'll see a lot of kind of freckled and metallic colored chipmunks and squirrels that are all kind of chasing the drone or seem to have been inspecting the area you camped in. Shale looks it over and, ah, crap. We got an Androgyani nearby somewhere. Best bet is for us to make sure just to avoid it. They are dangerous creatures, capable of swallowing a Corlian whole. But the Androgyani gives you a fate worse than death. It swallows you up and spits you back out, transformed into one of these small creatures that have to worship it. If you don't, it won't give you the antidote to the poison that kills you after 24 hours. Now, we do have anti-venom back at base, but I don't think we have any with us, do we, Crust? She'll shake her head. Nope, not one. So for right now, Shale will continue. It's best we just make sure to stay away from it, mark it on the map, we'll send some Zygos or Gallows over, take out the creature, and recover our citizens. And, let's be honest, the Androgyani, their scales are of massive importance. Sandus does a lot of good work with them. And you know the laboratories, the Basque laboratories based out of Sandus, one of the southern cities, that creates the star suits that give Corlians the ability to fly and to fight against the Star Children.
Yeah.
But you will all continue on, marching. You can see Shelf and Crust have a little bit of hard time with these long marches. You don't. You grew up in a via. Your mind kind of shuts off as you just keep walking.
Say, are these three still cadets then?
They have graduated, but they have not specialized.
Okay.
The only one who is specialized is Crust, and they are officially graduated as a recon.
So Crust is bona fide as well.
Yep.
Got it.
But you all continue walking for that second day. Crust will point out as you guys pass a small pond with a rainbow shimmering over it. The light coming through the leaves of the forest makes it look almost idyllic, like it's a scene out of the Fey realm. But you'll say, that's how you can tell an Androgyani's nearby. They make those rainbows above it to make it approachable. They hide under the water, and they can teleport between any of the pools. So if you see pools with rainbows, stay the hell away from them.
They're too good to be true.
Shelf will call out to you, and can't you just throw a bomb in there? Before Shale would interrupt, and if Creek throws a bomb in there, there's nothing we can recover, and there's no way we'd get the critters back in time to save them. This is a live and let live at the moment, before we can send in specialists. And she'll, all right.
I will put my bomb back in my pack.
Shelf will pull out a dried bag of spicy peppers. Glanzo peppers, ones that you're used to, that your mother and father, it's very common pepper used in cooking out here. But Shelf just seems to chew on them for fun as she walks. Though it is obvious, you can see like the sweat on her brow, the kind of flushed cheeks. It's not spicy. But all of them will make small talk as you guys continue on through this second day.
Hey, Commander, how's our pace for today?
Yeah, Shale will double check with Crust. We're looking good. We're making great time. Not run into any issues or problems. Wouldn't be surprised if we could shave off a day or two by the time it's all done.
Good to hear. Just camp out here for another day after it's done?
Yeah. Shale will look to Shelf and Crust, and they'll look over to you, Creek. And yeah, I mean, we don't want to show up ahead of time. Otherwise, they'll shorten our missions, right?
Yeah.
But the day will pass without incident or problem. As you guys go to bed that night, you'll be woken up by a group of the onyx deer. They're pale pelts, so you can see where moss kind of grows on the underside of them, give them kind of a greenish stomach. You see their sharp antlers, but most notably, of course, is their large frontward-facing fangs that injects a poison, which will slowly crystallize and turn your body to onyx. You guys have a little bit of a late start as the herd seems to be grazing underneath you guys as you all wake up in your jammies and look down.
Huh.
Shelf will line up her crossbow to take one out, and decent eating if we want.
When you're down there?
About 15.
You think they'll all clear out if you take one out?
Yeah, I'm feeling pretty good about that. Shelf will attempt to line up one to shoot it. One of the smaller males. The bolt will twang as it hits into the shoulder, and the herd will scatter. She'll look on sadly as her crossbow bolt stuck in the side of this onyx deer as it takes off into the brush. She's like, damn, well, we can track it down. It's not going to be able to go far.
Think you got it good enough?
Yeah, I think I got it good enough.
I think it's bleeding. Do you see any blood down there, Crust?
You'll see Crust drone scan the ground and scan the area. Yep, we got blood. If we don't chase it down, though, the Zygos will grab it.
What do you think, Commander? Go after dinner? Or lunch? Breakfast? Follow food? Let me do that again.
Nope, that was great.
Okay.
Shale will look over at you and, we have rations. We don't need to do that. Leave that to the bugs to eat.
You heard the boss.
Come on, guys. Last thing we want to do is get lost chasing after some deer.
We could track it with the drone and go pick it up when it falls.
Shelf and Crust look interested, but go and give me a diplomacy. DC 15.
I always forget my chaw is 8 and I'm supposed to be more of a jerk. diplomacy of 4.
Yeah, Shale looks at you and, no. Creek, let's get going. You'll hear the little zips and whoops of morning slugs as they gather around to drink from the spilled blood from the deer.
Coming for you, Shelf.
She'll, come on! And she'll definitely take this time to step on a few of them. Ones that have already teleported, already blinked. That can't blink again for another hour.
Oh, you're not even giving them a chance.
Well, we can put them all in a jar for you if you want a nightlight. Yeah, Crust will snicker at that, and Shale will... All right, come on, everybody. Time to get moving. But you will all continue through the vast wood. The sounds of the city have long since disappeared, leaving you all just kind of out here listening to the animals, frog croaks, branches breaking of things probably nearby that might be scary, but neither of you can see each other with how dense the jungle is. Crust says, we're about a day and a half away from a Sagouthi trading post if we want to stop and get anything. And then it's only another day past that to get to the ghost dam.
I'd like to stop at the trading post.
Shelf will go for a high five, and hell yeah, those guys are great.
I shall return the high five.
And on the down
low. Or accept the proper. Yep. On the down low. Followed up by a fist bump.
Shale will acquiesce and fine. All right, we'll stop at the Sagouthi.
In that case, fantastic.
But yeah, your march continues, going over roots. As you get further in, the trees get wider and larger, branches and leaves as well. Large enough to a point that you can tear off one of these leaves and use it as cover if you need to from the sun when you hit some of the open areas. But during the daytime, so far, when it's not morning with the acid fog rolling in or night with predators out, it's not a bad travel. You do know that there are some Corleans that rejected the city that live out here, making their own way and trade with the Sagouthi, which, after a day and a half of travel, you will approach their trading post. The Sagouthi stay hunched over, making them about 6 feet tall, but if they did stand all the way up, you'd be looking at an 8 foot tall, seven-eyed worm creature with giant mandibles, with red chitin across their back and yellow bellies, as they have two large, tentacle-like appendages that come out of the end of their thorax. They're able to imitate Corleone speech enough to be able to talk and trade. So when you get to their trading post, a group, about 3 or 4 Sagouthi will slither over and, greetings, as they clack, using their tendrils to pull up bits that they found from either abandoned Kenzai ziggurats or old laboratories or secrets that the vast wood has since covered up over the course of its many years of expanding and growing.
Greetings.
Shelf will speak a bit in the Sagouthi tongue, which you can tell is really hard for her to do. She attempts to kind of click and clack back enough that they all kind of nod their heads and, ah, ha, 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 ah, yes, yes, thank you, thank you. What is for trade today, Corleon? Shelf will be looking for some parts to modify her crossbow. She'll pull out the extra sandwiches she brought as trade, which the Sagouthi seem to be very excited and happy for. Crust doesn't need anything, and Shale will begin speaking to them about information in the area. Have they seen any dire boars? Have there been any star children recently? Is there anything they need to be officially worried about? Giving you time, Creek, to wander around and look at the mostly junk, but it's wares. You know, there's blasting caps that you can find and parts recovered that you can use for demolition purposes or mechanical purposes for things.
Fantastic. Yeah, I'll look through and see if there's anything that jumps out as, like, this is a not rarer piece, but more desirable or effective than what I've already got.
Yeah, as you're looking through the Sagouthi trading post, go and give me your craft explosives check.
Let's see what we can find. That is a 9. Not the best roll.
Alrighty. Yeah, with a 9, nothing stands out.
Okay. I mean, we are in the middle of the woods, so we're in the middle of the vast wood, so.
The large worms will drift between your group, pushing wares and trying to find things to sell you guys.
Okay.
Yeah, the rest of your team will spend probably a good hour here looking through stuff, and they'll pocket what is good for them, or things they want to bring back?
Seeing as there weren't many explosive or explosive accessories, I'll just kind of mingle with the others and see what they're getting.
Yeah, for the most part, Shelf and Prest will pick up fun trinkets, things that the Sigalthia found at the Kenzai temples and ziggurats built into the forest here. Shale will pick up some of the items that are more... Well, pick up items that have rare metals attached to them. Still scrap, but things that they can probably sell or reuse for later.
Okay.
But once they're ready and done, Shale will call out to you all, and you guys ready to go?
Yes, sir.
Shelf and Crest will give a salute, and ready when you are.
All right.
And you guys will head deeper into the vast wood. You can see the clouds coming. Rain will probably be here in a day or two.
Okay. We brought ponchos and stuff to prepare for the rains too, didn't we?
Mm-hmm. The size of the leaves out here are large enough. You can use them as umbrellas if you need to.
We'll keep marching. I might pick a leaf as an umbrella if it starts to get, the rain starts to pick up through the canopies and everything.
Yeah, it is a bit of a warm rain, so it's not uncomfortable, but it does soak down everything. Marching becomes harder, backpacks become heavier, but go ahead and give me your survival.
Survival! 13.
With a 13, between you and Shale, you guys will find yourselves looking around trying to set up camp, but you found yourself in the middle of a witch tree nest. The tree is about 15, 20 feet tall. They do walk around of their own accord. They carry large, kind of like mango-like fruits. They're not hostile, but they do make it hard to actually figure out kind of where you want to settle and where you guys want to camp tonight, because the trees move about as they do. And it's, you wouldn't be the first Corlean Marine to make a nest in a witch tree and then wake up about a mile or two off course.
Yeah, I definitely don't want to do that. Is it getting dark? Do we have time to move on and try and find another place?
You definitely do. You guys were, if I recall, about a day away from where you expect the dam to be.
Yeah, I think that's what we estimated after the camp would be about a day.
But Crest will attempt a recon check to find a spot for you. And as her drone returns, soaking wet, she'll confirm, there's a spot over that hill. We got about maybe another hour walk, and we should be able to set up camp. High enough on the hill that the acid fog doesn't come in, and the witch tree should go around us.
Okay.
We'll be sleeping on the ground, though. So, sorry, everybody. It's not going to be comfortable.
That's all right. We can make do.
Yeah, this far into the vast wood, as you guys settle up on your hill, the trees at this point are easily 60, 70 feet high. So this 50-foot hill definitely has its own view of the sky. It still feels kind of claustrophobic, because the trees are still encroaching in every direction.
Okay.
For that night, as you guys set watch, go ahead and give me your perception.
25, and I rolled a 20.
Alrighty.
Did the same thing last time you did perception? Yay, yeah. I can see everything in the woods.
So we'll interrupt this for a moment as we cut back to Shirkavan, as he's laying next to you over in his bed. So what the hell? What, you just come over to Dusk Banter so you can, what, take a break? That sounds crazy.
Yeah, it is. I was looking for something different after doing military for a few years and, you know, having to bail my father out of several situations. It seemed like a good idea to just try something new.
Shirkavan will sit up a bit and, yeah, I get that. That's fair. All right, cool. So tell me about this bomb. And we'll cut back to the forests of the vast world. With a nat 20 on perception, you do wake up, not to Shelf trying to play a trick on you, but you'll wake up to three brilliant lights in the sky zooming overhead. With your peekers nearby, you can see these are star children. They're thin, gaunt frames, looking almost like emaciated humans as they give off a burst of light in every direction. So right now, they kind of just seem like glowing balls, like globes from a very far distance.
Okay. Are they coming at us or just being hanging out above us?
They're not coming at you. They will pass overhead, and that's what woke you up. But you can hear the fires, you can hear the crackling of wet wood as they descend upon a spot in the forest out of sight. Like as they pass overhead, as you set up, you can hear that noise of violence and commotion.
Okay.
And you worry a bit about the Sigalthi trading post.
Oh, that's unfortunate. I mean, there's nothing we can do, but I'll kind of move quietly over to Commander Shale and just kind of put my hand on his shoulder and one kind of over his mouth really quick.
Yeah, he definitely wakes up wide-eyed and...
say, shh, there's some star children in the area. Thought you should know, but I didn't want to call attention to us.
Yeah, as soon as you say star children, he goes still and quiet, nods knowingly of, all right. Crust and Shelf are still sleeping soundly, but he'll spend the time to kind of look around, see if there's anything that you guys can use as cover.
Yeah, I'll point out where they headed down. Mention that it looks like they were headed towards the trading post we were at.
All right. You wake Shelf, I'll wake Crust. We got to move out of here. We're too high up.
Okay. I'll actually do the same thing. Hand on the shoulder, hand over the mouth, and shh, we got star children.
You put your hand over Shelf's mouth and kind of like, shh, and immediately a large arm will grab your arm and attempt to flip you over. As she's like, you're not getting my shoes.
Star children, shh. We can't stay here. We're too high.
Her grip slips off your arm in the wet rain. Kind of, oh, shit. But all of you will look at each other and don your peekers and descend back into the nighttime forest. In the distance, you can still hear the sound of forest burning and trees falling over. But the Vastwood feels uniquely different at night. The underside of branches and the underside of leaves, the fungus and animals that lay their eggs upon it, give off some bioluminescence, almost giving you your own starscape in the canopy below. If you weren't hiding from star children, it'd almost be pretty. But with only a few hours rest, you guys will continue to march towards the destination listed on Crust's drone.
Okay.
Go ahead and give me your fortitude save.
Let's see. There we go. It's a 6.
Very well. Keegan is fatigued today.
Okay. I think I've got the biggest backpack.
As well as all of your team, with the exception of Shelf.
That seems appropriate. I mean, I was taking watch, and then we started, so I didn't get a chance to sleep yet. I'm good with this.
You all drift down from your hill and into the deep, vast wood as Shale will, good eye, Creek. Man, do you sleep with your eyes open? Nobody gets anything by you.
Growing up near the forest, you gotta be aware of everything.
Crust and Shelf will kind of mutter along a common Corlean saying, which is, the jungle will always get you. As they agree and follow Shale and yourself into the darkness of the forest, heading towards the dam. Now, of course, marching at night goes a bit slower, but you get to see the fun copper slugs as they bounce across from leaf to leaf as they dash past you. You'll pass by a couple witch trees that are currently trying to find water. You see them like shuffling their roots into the ground before they get low enough and then get up and move to a different spot and try to shift in again. An onyx deer will pass as you start to feel that morning warmth. The fog starts to come in, as all of you will realize that whether you slept or not, you might be able to get a small nap, but you're going to have to get off the ground to avoid the acid fog in the morning.
Yep. Try and scope out a good tree.
Yeah, Crust will check around a bit, but her drone is a little bit too waterlogged to record it. The camera's blurry, and she's not getting any information back. So go ahead and give me a survival.
23.
Shale will... All right, Creek. Good spot.
Thank you, sir. Now let's get our jammies on and get up there.
All right, everybody. 2-hour kip, and then we'll go knock out these bugs. Shelf and Crust will crawl up into the trees as well. You guys will all get a brief moment to take a bit of a nap. Go ahead and give me your fortitude save. It's DC 15 to see if you can get rid of that fatigue. If not, it's not good sleep.
For those of you paying attention, I just rolled a 1.
Keegan, when you wake up, your friends are not there.
Oh, that's not good. You have that
brief panic as the tree below you is moving along, heading east. And you have not slept well for these last couple hours.
Okay.
You're able to jump out of your witch tree as it continues moseying along and send an HCOM message over to the rest of your group, which, of course, they'll wake up and, why the hell are you messaging me?
I'll send them the message. Like, I ended up in a witch tree. I'm headed back your way.
Yeah, you have not removed the fatigue.
Nope. But we're Corlean. We power through. Until I can't.
Yeah, even tired, years spent doing marches in Avia have trained you for this, to pretty much walk and sleep at the same time. So you continue to make movement and continue to make time as you head back towards your group. You'll pass by, especially at this point in the morning, you'll pass by, you'll see a few of the zygostes, the large, about five and a half foot tall insects that their chitin makes them look like the Kenzai. Though you know that's from the Kenzai's experiments that they made the zygostes to be experiments that were similar enough to them that they could test out weapons or test out planar travel or things like that without risking themselves. Of course, after the Corleans defeated them, the ghosts, these bugs, were able to wander out and reproduce in the vast wood. And so in the morning, it actually is kind of peaceful as you watch them moving about the acid fog, looking like people, kind of like monks, you know, robed up and dressed up as they walk around before the sun gets too high, before they go back into hiding.
Nice.
But the witch tree that you jumped out of had found water. Though trickling, you know this is downstream from the dam that you're going to go blow up.
Okay.
So you're able to follow it north to meet up with Shale, Crust, and Shelf.
Yeah, I don't have to go to them. I can just head towards the dam from here.
Mm-hmm. And you will get there before them. You can see the massive... The massive amalgamated structure of leftover mechanical parts, tree branches, animal carcasses, chunks of metal they've ripped off of buried ziggurats, all of it kind of piled here together, and there are bugs all over it.
Dang. Well, that'll definitely stop up a river. If I'm in a good spot when I get there, I'm going to start looking through my pack to see, start putting together something to take care of this dam.
If you'd like to take 20 on this, you can spend a few hours to make sure you get something proper while you're waiting for the rest of your teammates, or the rest of your squad mates.
Okay. Yeah, I'll take 20 while working on this.
Yeah, it's almost an hour and a half later before you'll hear snaps of branches, leaves being pushed out of the way before you'll see Shelf as she... Creak!
Hey, Shelf! You made it! I was beginning to wonder if I need to come find you.
Meh. Pretty sure it's cheating to take a tree while you're sleeping.
I had to pick the right tree, you know, to head in the right direction. You gotta know what way the face is facing.
Yeah, she'll look at you and, do trees have faces? Hey, Crust, yeah. Do trees have faces?
Yeah, it's the mossy side.
Yeah, and Crustle, yeah, that's the side that faces north, right?
Yes.
Before Shale will come out, you'll see he looks a little bit muddied, looks a little worse for wear, looks like he didn't sleep well either, and thank God you're here, Creek. All right, you got the stuff?
Yeah, I've been working on it too. This is going to be cool.
We're going to hold cover for you. Can you sneak in and put that in?
Yeah, I've been keeping an eye on it, trying to figure out the best place to put this, and I think I've got a spot picked out right there in the center.
All right, you swimming in or climbing in?
I'll swim in it. I've got a dry sack I can put this thing in until I get there.
All righty, and Shale will look at Shelf and Crust, and all right, let's light him up and give Creek some time in the creek.
So, yeah, I will we'll put my device in the dry bag, seal it up, put it on my back, and head towards the water.
Alrighty. Go and give me a stealth check.
18.
Alright. The bugs around the outside don't seem to notice you as you come through the water, though they are seeming to gather on the side where the rest of your squad mates are. You can see their chitin kind of unpeels a bit as it breaks apart, revealing the scythe-like arms that they have tucked underneath to give them that crossed-armed kind of monk look.
Okay.
As you'll hear them chitter and hiss, but your teammates are holding their fire until you get close or until you get noticed.
Okay. Yep. We trust our team. They got my back, so I'll continue to move in.
Go and give me one more stealth check. If you pass this, it will then be a swim check to dive down underneath to try to get under the dam.
4.
And the scene erupts.
Jeez it.
The flittering of bug wings as they as their chitin and claws scrape against each other, as they hiss, as you hear the first thumper go off as Shelf walks forward, just blasting. Crust is using their recon drone to try to distract some on the outside, and Shale is opening up with their heavy rifle, firing across the top of it to try to keep the bugs away from the side you're at.
Okay.
With them being aware of you, though, there are some that are going inside the nest. So you're going to have to make this quick. Yeah. So Keegan, go and give me that swim check.
All right. Swim is 24.
All right. Awesome. So you dive into the reduced river, holding your breath as you go underneath.
Okay.
It is a bit deeper than you thought. As you get further down, what once was a giant pile of detritus that had been built up by these bugs, you start to hit metal. Though you can still find a part where the bugs have chewed through the metal. You feel like you're at the top entrance of maybe an old Kenzai facility or something. But you exit out into kind of a half-wet, half-full stairwell, partially underneath the dam.
Okay, yeah. I will come out and turn on a... I will reach into my bag, pull out a light. Not a fire light. something to let me see. A little torch or something.
Yeah, flashlight. You're able to pull out a small globe or a flashlight.
Yeah, sorry. I'll pull out a globe and start looking around, seeing, because this is what I determined was the weak point of the dam when I came down. So
yeah, go and give me a perception while you're down here.
19.
Okay. Though soaking wet, as you're down here in the lower, or I guess upper parts of this broken laboratory, you can see energy cells in the walls. Though faint, they are still glowing. But you will also see scores and scores of Zyghost eggs.
Oh. Can I hear any of the gunfire fighting going on up above?
You can. Yeah, it's muffled.
Okay.
You can hear the bugs trying to get closer to you, some of them. Or at least it sounds like they are. You can see a few of these Zyghost overseers, kind of the larger but less violent versions that tend to the eggs.
Okay.
As a couple of them stop, their multiple eyes gleaming in the light of your globe. As they take up defensive positions, but they're not attack-worthy, right? They're hissing at you because you're close.
Now that I'm in this little facility thing, can I make a knowledge engineering to see the best place to place this?
Go and give me explosive. A knowledge engineering.
15.
All right. You're pretty sure if you place it here in this stairwell, it should take out a large portion of this nest, but mostly collapse the river into this nest and drown out this laboratory.
Okay. Then we can send either risk reconnaissance after the explosion or send another crew in to do a cleanup just to verify. Okay. So yeah, I'll get to work setting up the, getting it set up and setting the timer so I can get out of here.
All right. Go and give me that demolitions check.
Oh, this couldn't have gone more perfectly. I rolled a 1, so that's a 7.
All right. As you set the explosive against the wall, as you go to turn it on and get it active, whether maybe some of the water got into the dry sack, or maybe it's just the interference down here with the laboratory, the timer you set isn't showing how much time is left. But you can hear it beeping.
Well, it's time to hustle and get out of here. So I will make tracks. I will even leave the dry bag because I don't need anything left in it, and it'll weigh me down when I swim. So go.
Turning around, Keegan, there is a Zyghost in front of you, one that has crawled their way down through the dam into the opening of this laboratory. You see it with its chitin-exposed sides out in the open as it hisses at you from being close to the eggs.
Okay, it's in my path. Yeah, I'm going to try and dive past it.
All right, go ahead and give me an acrobatics.
That is a 17.
A 17 will not be able to pass its CMD, so it will take a swipe at you as you go by.
Okay.
With a 22 to hit, it will slash across you for 8 points of damage.
Okay.
You'll be able to get to the exit with a single move, though you do have that cut across your side.
Okay.
Before I'll need a swim check to try to get out of here.
Okay. Yeah, I'm...
If you do not pass the DC 20, you aren't able to swim upwards and against this pressure.
Okay.
And so you'll lose this turn.
Okay. Here we go. 12.
Yes, you find yourself pushing against the metal, trying to get out of here, but with heavy rains for the course of the day and the dam above with the gunfire going on, you're not able to quite pull yourself through. You can feel the Zyghost as they slash at your legs as you're trying to pull yourself out. With a 16, they won't be able to get you.
Okay.
But go ahead and give me another swim check.
A 27. and I rolled a 20 on that one.
All right. The world gets very wet as you spill out of the dammed area in the laboratory into the creek as you begin swimming your way up towards the surface. Go ahead and give me a fortitude save.
I rolled a 19 for fortitude.
Alrighty.
Oh, wait, I needed the 20, didn't I?
Keegan, you wake up covered in mud, parts of branches, a few bits of bug, and you're staring up at a late afternoon sky. Shelf leans over you as she... Creek, you okay? And your eyes open, you can see that she's missing a good chunk of her hair and part of her eyebrow. Her armor is burnt. Crust is sitting over on the beachside next to you as you hear just a torrent of water running through. And she... Well, gonna need another drone. Shale will call out.
Did we do it?
Ready, Creek, what the hell did you do? What the hell did you make?
I... Go big or go home, right?
Goddamn, made a new lake out here.
Well, there was a nest under there. Some old power cells that probably added to it. Now that I think about it.
Shale will... Okay. Jesus, Creek. Glad you're going mercenary. Well, I think we did it, everyone. Sit up from the bank.
Yeah, I'll sit up and see what's going on. Actually get my eyes on it.
Yeah, Shelf will put an arm around you, kind of help you up to your feet.
Oh, now
you can see
you.
Where, like, your clothes are, even though you're wet, your clothes are burnt. There's, like, a big burn mark across your leg. One of your shoes is not even with the other shoe. But there's probably about almost 100-foot wide crater filled with water. There are no bugs here. Trees are backed away. You can see where branches are bent backwards.
Dang.
As the water has filled up this hole you've made and spilling forward.
Are you all okay?
I mean, Shelf's missing an eyebrow and some hair. Crust doesn't have a drone anymore. You can see the scared look kind of on her face. Shale was far enough back that he's fine, but is still looking
classic
at you like...
Classic commander.
Like, oh my god, you dumbos are the freaking worst.
Okay, I will admit that might have been a little excessive, but did it look cool?
Shale will just walk away from you, as will Crest. Shelf will help pick you up to your feet and kind of brush off a bit of the mud that's caked on you and looked really fucking cool.
Nice.
Those energy canisters, it was bright blue, shot straight up into the sky. Scared off a few star children, too.
Fantastic. I'm guessing I took out that nest, too.
No, nothing lives here anymore.
We might not need to even send a cleanup crew out.
Yeah, Shelf will look back as she surveys the new lake, small lake. I don't think there's too much left for them to do. And if there was anything recoverable from the Kenzai site below, well, let's just imagine there's probably not.
We'll just say there was a nest and leave it at that.
But she'll put her arm around you and help carry you up. And you look tired, Creek.
I think that was the most amount of sleep I've gotten the last day or two.
Brag.
I don't think my other pack made it either. You're sharing your food, right?
She'll look at you pretty seriously. Got half a sandwich left.
The slugs.
And she'll stop holding you up.
You know they like the peppers.
But we'll cut back to the hospital at Shirkavan. Holy shit. Damn, man. That sounds cool as fuck. Okay, now it's my turn. Let me tell you about the longest bender that the Moon Rats have ever done. So Bosser found a shipment of whiskey from God's Face, right? The nurse will poke his head in as he... Mr. Creek, correct? Keegan Creek?
Yes, that's me.
I apologize about the delay. Your insurance came through. I didn't realize you were a Platinum member. If you're ready, we're about to start the surgery to get that subdermal plating put in.
Can I get a rain check on that story?
And that's where we'll end the session.
Nice. I'm going to try and maintain that friendship.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Like, rate, review, subscribe. You know the jazz. Our opening and closing songs were by Nihilor. The title is called Fatigue. You also heard Dilemma. Our sound effects are by Pixabay. All right. Well, thanks for listening. Bye.